listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wake up, you sip on tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too
Rick Adams is on.
Thank you very much. Hello, Rick Adams with you again today, folks. It's the 11th of January. 2020, almost said 2019 again. Wow. Is it 2020? Is that right, Ken? Wow. I can't believe it. I know we're not going to be able to go much longer, but boy, it is amazing, huh? Well, anyway, we had another typical week in the life of the soap opera as the world burns, ladies and gentlemen, and it is burning. Well, it probably will burn in the not-too-distant future, when all of the judgments upon the earth's surface take place, and we see that purging, that cleansing of the whole earth, and the restoration of God's holiness on the earth with that excoriating heat, as it is basically understood in the Bible. A great fire, a great heat, so intense that everything shall melt away, including all that is physical and structure and body, all of that gone anyway. So, folks, today, I want to get into a few areas that reflect on the present by what we've seen in the past. I'll play a few clips for you of the Reagan administration, since there's so much discussion in the past week about this insane, if you will, goings-on with Donald J. Trump in the Middle East on behalf of the powers that be, and every single thing that he could muster up as an explanation except the ones he's given, of course. And I want to tie it into Ronald Reagan and what happened in 1983. Now, maybe you don't remember what happened in 1983. I do. I was there. I remember. And Ronald Reagan, after he had given a press conference, or maybe it's a little bit later in 88, I guess, yeah, is going into his second term of office, was painting this glowing picture of an economy that was expanding and a rebound from depression and the strongest nation and military on the earth, defeating communism, defeating all of the evils for that day that were defeated until the next series of evils, of course. And then a congressman, by the way, who was on that flight, that fateful flight that went down over the Sea of Japan. You remember all of those things? Is it coming back to you now? Well, I think it all ties into today with what's been going on with Iran and the plan to encircle and destroy or destabilize the country and its people in the name of freedom, of course. The same scenario has arisen once again, and we go back to the well every single time. Isn't it enough that when you drink a little cup of water, a little Kool-Aid from that well, and you die as a result of poison, you think your kids would say, maybe we shouldn't drink from that well? And your grandchildren, maybe we shouldn't drink from that well? And your great-grandchildren, maybe we shouldn't get a cup and drink? I don't know. Some are wise enough to do that. Others are not. You know, it's like the guy that goes to the grocery store or the department store or the market every single week. And for the past 20 weeks, he's come out shortchanged. You know, sooner or later, he has to scratch his wooden head and say, I don't think it's a mistake anymore. Because the laws of probability and chance would say that once in a while, they'd have to make a mistake in my favor. And they don't. Well, we know the American public is too damn dumb to understand that, as I believe Harry Hopkins under Roosevelt said. Well, we'll get to the Roosevelt in the White House now, too, in just a moment. But, you know, Jeremiah the prophet always, always, always was faithful to God. And, of course, in Jeremiah 6, you know, he does talk about captivity, and he does warn about what will befall Jerusalem shortly thereafter in his time, and what will befall it in the end times. So, you know, he does speak about God's wrath against the people of Judah and Benjamin. And he tells them what will take place. And the city will be totally laid desolate. And it had been. And then, you know, he talks about in this great book of Jeremiah 24, he talks about in the last days, as it was in that Babylonian captivity then, under King Nebuchadnezzar, it shall be again revisited as Babylon, the city of Babylon, the great whore. And Babylon, in the end times, is represented by the rulers of the city of Jerusalem. So in like 24, you know, chapter 24 in Jeremiah, you know, he's talking, obviously, he's telling us, you know, that God himself says, I will bring them again to this land and will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. Of course, the millennium is coming, you see. And I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now, that's to come. That is going to come in the millennium and after the millennium when God rules in that city. Right now, Satan rules the city, and it's the city of God, Jerusalem, you know, in the Hebrew. This is God's city. And is it godly? No. Is it doing God's will? No. Is it acting as God would expect true Hebrews to act? No. It's a city of evil, a city of Sodom and Egypt, as he describes it in the last days. So this is happening before our very eyes. Yet if you listen to Donald J. Trump, this is the city that God gave the Jews that bought and paid for me. I mean the people I know so well, and the people that have served us in our country so well, the best friends of the United States we've ever had. And so that's what he says. He uses the word Jews, and I don't. I don't pick it up and say Jews because we're not dealing with Jews. It doesn't exist. Now, the Kenites and those who call themselves Jews, yeah, I can deal with that, but not Jews. So nobody can say that I'm bashing anybody except those who fake it, those who claim to be of Judah and are not. And so he describes them as and as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, this is Jeremiah, they are so evil, so bitter. Surely thus saith the Lord, so I will give them Zedekiah, the king of Judah, as he did, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem. You see, folks, the residue and those that are left behind, and also in the last days, what will be a repeat? The same thing, the city of Babylonian captivity. A 70-year generation then, and the 70 to 72-year generation now. And boy, I'll tell you, what is it, 71 years counting? May, this May will be 72 full years on this Gregorian calendar. So just beware, think of those things, and then learn. And I, by the way, have advanced to the 24th chapter now in rereading the scriptures of the book of Genesis, and I'm happy I did. All right, so that's the story on that. Now, we have a bunch of tweets today from the twit in the White House, and one of them, of course, from Donald J. Trump. Now, listen to this. He said he's talking about the radical left, and he's talking about the director of the FBI. Here's one of his tweets. FBI director apologizes for FISA errors, of which there were far too many. You know how he spells two? T-O. Far too many. This is the man that's the expert on Persia, the expert on Iran, the expert at firing missiles, at killing people who are committing acts of violence against Americans, and threatened to kill thousands more at embassies all over Iraq. 20, 40 more embassies. Too many. T.O. You know, and he just makes a fool of himself. But that's okay. I understand that. He is a fool to play with fire. You know, Truman did this in 47 and 48. And he had to pay a price. And now Trump, he says that I will do what God has given me over to do. Well, he's given him over to do something, and it's not very pleasant. I'm sorry. A lot of people out there still love Donald Trump, and give him a chance. He's fighting deep state. All he's doing, Rick, is turning the tables. He's smoking them out. He's bringing them out. Give him time. Yeah, we've had 3 years now, over 3 years, of a hellish foreign policy and domestic lies. And you know what? We can't last another much longer period of time. It's almost over. Dreamland is coming to reality time. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Face reality. Read the scriptures, and it will tell you what we are facing today. We're facing these fallen princes of Israel serving the cause of the enemy within, these fallen kings, you know, these soothsayers, but not true prophets of God. And there are very few kings, by the way, in the history of Israel or Judah that were faithful to God. But they said, we want kings. We want a Trump. No, we want a Hillary. No, we don't want Hillary. No, we don't want Warren. No, we don't want any of them. I think we'll take Trump. He's the least of the evils. Well, if this is the least, what we've been going through, I'd hate to see what would be the most of the evils. So we're going to go back today, and we're going to review an American president who served, what was it, from 1980 to 88? Was his name Ronald Wilson Reagan? I think that was it. The actor from the Screen Actors Guild in Hollywood. Yep, and you know, he was a communist in the 1930s and 40s. He was a left-wing socialist, but miraculously he was transformed into a right-wing champion. He even called him the evil empire. But in the 1930s and the 40s, he considered them to be a good friend of the United States, a war buddy, palsy-walsy, friends of freedom. Well, you know, the leopard doesn't change its spots, let me tell you. And the apples don't fall far from the tree. You know, all in that family there and the continuation and, you know, not just Nancy and Jane Wyman and this one, and I don't know how many wives he had. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, very simply, that we've got actors in the White House. We've got one now. We've got one now who's a performer, who produces television shows. We've got one in the Ukraine. A Jewish comic. So, you know, the whole world is a stage, as Shakespeare, I guess, once said. And he wasn't wrong. So beware that everything now you see and hear, everything you face, is one big lie. It's an illusion, and it's not real. And that's the way I look at it all. I just look at what we see in this country today, and I realize it's a hoax. It's a hoax. There's no reality to it. And people obviously need to understand that if they're looking at things objectively. If they're looking at it through rose-colored glasses, and through the glasses of those who would like to see a different world, you know, based on their own aspirations, then they're going to be lied to. They're going to be deceived ultimately by who? By Satan. When Satan comes to bring peace to the earth, guess what? They're the ones who are going to say, that's God. That's Jesus returned. Nobody could do the miracles he's doing but Jesus Christ. And I can tell you there are many churches now that are doing just that. I know that I talked to a friend, a young friend recently who's all wrapped up in Scripture, and he's faithful. You know, he's good. You know, years ago he came on this program and students and so forth, and he was far better then, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, than he is now in terms of tying everything together politically and scripturally and what's going on. He's devoutly involved with the Scriptures. And he's in a church, of course, a Bible church, an evangelical church, where the focus is on saving souls. And I don't want to be an unruly brother. I don't want to in any way try to be mean-spirited, because I know that that's not the way to go about talking about these things. So I just bring up certain scriptures, and it's like, certain scriptures contradict this theology today that teaches us to follow this false Messiah, whether it's the rapture or whether it's anything such as all of the souls that God created in this age and so forth, being of different races, keeping them separate, that God had a special people, Israel. And none of this contradicts Jesus' message. None of it contradicts what he said about witnessing to the whole world before he comes. But unfortunately, they do not see the most important part in Genesis, and that is, you got it, serpent seed. And I don't know how to get it through to them. I don't know how to make them understand it, because it's up to God. It's up to him to open their eyes. And that's why they're concentrating on evangelism. It's winning souls. It's not reproving false doctrine, you know, and that's sad. It's very sad. When Jesus said, feed my sheep, he didn't mean feed them junk. He didn't mean feed them, you know, Hostess cupcakes. He meant feed them the meat of the Word of God, the milk and the meat. And they're not doing that. And I feel sorry. And this is where we are today. Today, in most of these churches, these so-called fundamental churches, today they're all whoring after Satan's children, thinking they're God's children. And that's sad indeed. But there's going to be a rude awakening indeed when Jesus does come, the right Jesus, the real Jesus. And I think many of them are going to be looking for mountains to hide under, because these are essential doctrines that divide, not bring together. Jesus said, when I come to divide. I don't come to bring together. I come to divide. You know, he's going to divide the wheat from the tares. He's not going to put them all in one basket. So that's the message that I am faced with in trying to deal on a personal basis with some people whom I know and love very dearly. And, it's just that I cannot be their teacher. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be a conviction in the heart. And if they don't have it, maybe it's not meant for them to have it now. But I can assure them of one thing. When he does come, then they will have it. And they'll see it all. They'll know it all clearly as to the errors of their way. And I'm not saying I have only that I'm perfect, no. But I'm just saying these are essential doctrines of Scripture that if you don't understand them, you can't make the Bible make sense. Otherwise, people will come up to you and they'll say, why this and why that? And how come this and how come that? There's contradictions in the Scriptures. No, the contradictions lie with those who are misreading the Scriptures. That, to me, is the essence of the problem. And the same thing, of course, is true of politics. And we're going to hear it, how people were beguiled in this country following years of democratic rule in the 40s, 50s, the 60s, and then the 70s, and went through that uprising with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was installed for a one-term period of time. And he was dumped by the same people who dumped Bush. Poppy Bush. All right. We'll come right back to that. I want to play the video, the first one of Reagan's press conference, and we'll go from there. Sit back. We'll be back. Rick Adams.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks, we're back right now. I want you to hear a little bit of what Ronald Wilson Reagan had to say in 1983, January, of course, when he was holding his briefing with the press. And listen to how he eloquently states his marvelous scenarios for us.
United States.
Good morning. Little airplane flights did you good. Looking bright and chipper. Well, as some of you may know, today marks the second anniversary of this administration. How time flies when you're having fun. A lot can happen in 2 years. Just looking around this room, I can see the signs of change everywhere. Judging from this group, I seem to have given more gray hairs than I got during the last 2 years. I guess you can chalk that up to the luck of the Irish. At any rate, here we are at midpoint in the first term, so I thought a little personal perspective might be appropriate. Looking back, I guess my greatest satisfaction is the conviction that a country that was skidding dangerously in the wrong direction, losing the respect of friends and foes alike in the world, and even worse, losing faith in its own future, has been set on the right course. We've begun to undo the damage that the overtaxing, overspending, overregulating binge of the 60s and 70s inflicted on the American way of life. And we've made America respected in the world again. My biggest regret is that because the accumulated damage has piled up so high for so long, putting America's house in order has been a tough and painful task. I remember John Kennedy saying that when he came into office, the thing that surprised him most was to find that things were just as bad as he'd been saying they were. In my case, the biggest surprise was finding out they were even worse. And it's a real human tragedy that so many of our people today are still suffering for the political mistakes of the past that we've finally started to correct. But now let's look ahead for a moment as we enter our third year. I see an American economy and an America on the mend. Nearly every economic indicator shows us heading into recovery. The same economists who were arguing a few months ago about how much worse the economy would get are now arguing how strong the recovery is going to be. And I think that's a step in the right direction. We've reached a bipartisan compromise to save the Social Security system, and our efforts to strengthen our security and build a more peaceful world through arms reduction, negotiations with the Soviet Union, and through helping the peace process in the Middle East and other world trouble spots are in full swing. Right now, I'm in the process of making final budget decisions. I'm not here to leak any details, but I can tell you that our budget will be fair, realistic, and will pave the way for a strong, sustained recovery. So I'd say that for all our troubles, midterm finds this administration and this country entering a season of hope. Now, unless someone's going to bring out a cake with two candles on it, well, first, I just want to show you when this is going to be distributed. This is a record. All of the legitimate leaks are combined in here. It's a two-year review that will be distributed to all of you of what has taken place and what has been accomplished in the government in these 2 years. And now I think it's time for questions, but again, I'd like to suggest that if we get started on whatever the first question is and get started in that subject, that maybe it'd be a little more orderly if we said, well, okay, anyone with further questions on that subject. Claire? Gary?
Mr. President, what you pointed out the high points of your first 2 years. What are the low points? The failure economically, of the budget not to grab hold, the high deficits, the high unemployment. Are you taking responsibility for those as well, sir?
Well, I would think some of the disappointments have been that in the give and take and the compromise that has to take place in the legislative process, we never did get intact what we thought was a well-thought-out economic plan. We had to give way with regard to limits on spending in many areas. We've never gotten as much as we asked for that. We did not get the tax incentive program intact and with the impact that we thought it would have on the economy, as from 30%, for example, in that one phase of the income tax to be put in retroactively beginning in January of 81, to have not get only half of that installment and get it down the line in October and so forth. The things of this kind, I think the something over which we had no control was the maintaining of the high interest rates for so long when they pulled down from the great money upsurge of the 80s, which perpetuated the interest rates to the point that I think they were responsible for the step off the cliff. I can't say this recession did not begin in July of 81. This recession has been coming on for several years and gradually growing.
All right, Ron. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. It sounds like somebody I know of now. That sounds like Donald Trump. Make America great again. We've done it. No more Carter years. No more Obama years. Oh, my goodness. Blame it on the economy, not those that run the economy. All right. We'll be back, folks. Next clip coming up, Rick Adams on Uncensored.
And You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
A little clip of a press conference just happened to be from the Reagan Library, of course, good quality and so forth. The successive questions from the press corps, Sam Donaldson, haven't you been too tough on the Soviets rhetorically? You know, you don't have to hear any of that. You can look it up for yourself. Ronald Reagan's press conference on January 20th, 1983. But the next one now is very interesting, because this next clip has to do, I believe, with the downing of the Korean jetliner over the Sea of Japan, the Soviet missile strike. We're hearing a lot about missile strikes now with Iran and it being a matter of human error, so the government of Iran says. I don't know if anybody can believe it. I don't believe anything anymore. I told you, I don't believe anything the governments or the media in this world have to say. I just take it. I go with it. I analyze it. I report it. And I just say it. I just say this is what they're saying. So you have a lot of questions here, but you're not supposed to ask questions, folks. If you're in the media, you know you're controlled. You know you're part of the dishonesty. You know you're part of the army of intel, disinfo, propaganda. You can't speak out of the box. Otherwise, you're no longer in the press corps, or you're not invited to the White House. So it's a con game. We know that. The Bible makes it clear that all of this is illusion. The whole world is being deceived, and it will be deceived much more so in the months ahead when Satan comes, and he comes as a healer to heal this fallen beast system that's coming together. You know, the toes and the horns, the powers that really cannot sustain itself, the iron and the clay. You know, the toes cannot hold up the weight of this one world system that's coming. It means it has to give way. It has to give way ultimately now to the eighth beast, into Satan's takeover of that power system. Satan comes as a healer. He comes as Messiah. He's going to come deceiving the world even more. And knowing how illiterate most people are today, you can see them readily embracing it. But you remember what happened on that flight 007 over the Sea of Japan. The Soviets took it down, and a congressman was on that plane. Many others were, too. But most notably, Congressman Lawrence P. McDonald, who was the John Birch Society at the time, the Democratic congressman from Georgia. And many say to this day he was singled out. They took it down because of him. Some even theorized conspiratorially that he was going to be taken down from within the John Birch Society because he was too powerful and he was attracting many people into areas the Birchers didn't want to go to. I don't know. I won't speculate. Only God knows these things. We can only speculate. But one thing we do know, and that is that he was murdered on that plane. And we had a senator from Rhode Island. He was head of the Council on Foreign Relations in the Congress. His name was Claiborne Pell. And he was also a member of the Club of Rome and the CFR. And we picketed him at an appearance he made, this church that I was a part of, picketed his appearance in downtown Providence, where the senator had said that we shouldn't get too excited about the taking down of the airliner because detente was in the works and we should try for peace, peace, you know, peace and safety. And so we had signs that read, Pell's friends, Senator Pell's friends, killed American congressmen and all of these innocent passengers, you know, and he was a little bit embarrassed by it, but it didn't faze him. He knew he would be reelected again, you know, for another term. Six terms in the Senate. 36 years of painful history, let me tell you. So, this next clip was Reagan, and listen to his language now on how he reacted to the Soviet downing of that airliner. And then you can draw some conclusions again about what's going on with Trump today. And then I'm going to play for you two segments, if we can get them up, from an interview on a show, Pat Buchanan and his co-host, Joe Rogan, who was with the OSS and the CIA, one of the boys, you know, talking about with Larry McDonald on the John Birch Society and conspiracy theories. I think you'll find some of what he says, too, to be quite revelatory. So that was Tom Braden, Pat Buchanan, and Larry McDonald. That'll be the last couple of segments. Right now, this is Reagan again addressing what took place in that plane takedown over the Sea of Japan.
First, let me just say that Nancy and I were deeply saddened last night to learn of the death of Senator Henry Jackson. He was a friend, a colleague, a true patriot, and a devoted servant of the people. He will be sorely missed, and we both extend our deepest sympathy to his family. Now, in the wake of the barbaric act committed yesterday by the Soviet regime against a commercial jetliner, the United States and many other countries of the world made clear and compelling statements that expressed not only our outrage, but also our demand for a truthful accounting of the facts. Our first emotions are anger, disbelief, and profound sadness. While events in Afghanistan and elsewhere have left few illusions about the willingness of the Soviet Union to advance its interests through violence and intimidation, all of us had hoped that certain irreducible standards of civilized behavior nonetheless obtained. But this event shocks the sensibilities of people everywhere. The tradition in the civilized world has always been to offer help to mariners and pilots who are lost or in distress on the sea or in the air. Where human life is valued, extraordinary efforts are extended to preserve and protect it. And it's essential that as civilized societies, we ask searching questions about the nature of regimes where such standards do not apply. Beyond these emotions, the world notes the stark contrast that exists between Soviet words and deeds. What can we think of a regime that so broadly trumpets its vision of peace and global disarmament, and yet so callously and quickly commits a terrorist act to sacrifice the lives of innocent human beings? What can be said about Soviet credibility when they so flagrantly lie about such a heinous act? What can be the scope of legitimate mutual discourse with a state whose values permit such atrocities? And what are we to make of a regime which establishes one set of standards for itself and another for the rest of humankind? We've joined in the call for an urgent United Nations Security Council meeting today. The brutality of this act should not be compounded through silence or the cynical distortion of the evidence now at hand. And this tonight, I will be meeting with my advisors to conduct a formal review of this matter. And this weekend, I shall be meeting with the congressional leadership. To the families of all those on the ill-fated aircraft, we send our deepest sympathy, and I hope they know our prayers are with them all.
That it? Is that the whole clip? I guess it is. All right, he's getting up on Air Force 20. Okay, anyhow, now the next segment I want to play right now, if we can squeeze in. I think we can. This is from the Buchanan TV show with, as I said before, with Tom Brayton and also with Larry McDonald. Listen to what McDonald says in this segment, this first segment, about conspiracies and theories, and you tell me later what you think if this is one of the things that maybe got him assassinated on Flight 007. Let's listen to the first segment.
Later headed up a society, let's say it was a dumb statement. The first society was formed in 58.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you all now, the John Birch Society, still answering for a statement like that? Why didn't the Birch Society say, look, our founder made an asinine statement, we don't pay any attention to it, and go on to the future. Why is the John Birch Society, in his phrase, now considered by an awful lot of people who will say, okay, Jerry Falwell, moral majority, new rightists, okay, don't like him. But all of a sudden, when you mention the Birch Society, everybody recoils. Why is that?
The reason is, Tom, because we haven't gotten into what the society is. Instead, we have tried to, it's a sort of a classic effort of a straw man that's thrown up where the society never took a position. The society never stated anything about Eisenhower one way or the other. It was never a position of the society.
Was it a problem for the society that its head for 25 years was the man who had made that statement, and his head is not that now?
Well, part of the problem is, Tom, Pat, the actual statement has not been quoted.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants to take the time to read the politician with the footnotes, they can maybe read it and judge for themselves. But that's not a position one way or the other of the society. And, of course, another small problem is that Mr. Welch did not resign. Actually, this was a move of transition of leadership, of which he was one of the individuals in actively making the transition. He has emerged as a chairman emeritus.
Were you hurt then? I mean, I want to get to the point why the John Birch Society is differentiated from other new right organizations. You can say Conservative Caucus or NCPAC or Conservative Digest, and people say yes, no, but you say the Birch Society, and there's a recoil, even among conservatives who will say, no, don't call me a member of the Birch Society. Now, why is that? Is that partly due to the fact that Bill Buckley's National Review, I think around 1964, read the Birch Society out of the conservative movement? Have you recovered from that?
Well, I think Bill Buckley founded ACU in 65 partly to do that. Elements within National Review have also, beginning in 65, I think very dishonestly, took a very strong tack against the society. The society would actually be termed more of the old right. I think the definition of the new right would be vigorous and post-vigorous.
Okay, but why? I mean, I don't know where you disagree with the new right people, but why do you carry around this tarnish, this taint?
Well, let me give you another reason why he carries around the taint.
I'd be glad to give you the answer,
Mr. Welch.
The reason is because the society is the only organization in America that is organized at the grassroots level with paid coordinators, with chapters in the communities all across the country.
Conservative caucus.
Not with chapters, not with a paid field staff all across the country.
That's organization.
And so the result is that this is the one group, I think, that those who would radically change America seriously fear. And a tremendous campaign was launched in December of 1960 to move to discredit the John Birch Society, and frankly launched initially on orders coming out of Moscow.
Well, Mr. McDonald, I'm not a conspirator. I think even Buchanan would vouch for that.
Robert Welch.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Is that a conspiracy?
Well, you've certainly. Well,
let me just tell you what Newsweek says this. The John Birch Society considers communism only one arm of a master conspiracy in which socialist American insiders are plotting to establish world government. Now, it also says, and here's Director John McManus, that's your public relations director, saying that former Secretary of State Alexander Haig and CIA Director William Casey are two of these master conspirators who are plotting to establish world government. Now, what do you say? You know, that kind of silly, asinine statement is what makes people laugh at the John Birch Society.
Well, Tom, I'm sure being a longstanding member of the Rockefeller apparatus, and as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations of longstanding, you're fully aware that there is an elitist core in this country that has seen value in subsidizing communism, of protecting communism.
It has?
Sure.
You're accusing me of subsidizing communism?
No, I'm saying
because
that
happen to belong to a
there is an elite core
study group.
No, wait a minute. There is an elite core in this country that has dominated American society.
Well, I'm not one of them.
The Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, let's face it. They have dominated the State Department for 40 years, and pretty much openly.
Right, but what are they trying to do?
Objective is to try to bring about a gradual transition in our society. A dissolving of sovereignty and a moving steadily to the left on the political spectrum.
Well, who are they?
The elitist groups that I mentioned, particularly key individuals and policymakers in the Council on Foreign Relations.
Is the International Monetary Fund part of this?
Well, I would say the International Monetary Fund has certainly been set up for the purpose of facilitating that transfer of sovereignty and transfer of wealth on the road.
We elected Mr. Conservative.
Let me just finish the point, because otherwise we're going to have a lot of unanswered questions. That you are looking at a group that has worked to bring about the dissolution of national sovereignties on the road to world government. And certainly you're familiar with the local professor Carol Quigley, who has been part of your club, in which he admitted all this. And he said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, the only thing I disagree is that we've worked to keep it a secret. And you see Arthur Schlesinger Jr. writing way back in 1947, says, yes, this is the hidden policy of America. But we can't tell the American public because they're too unsophisticated to see the value.
What is the instrumentality of world government? What is
like
the instrumentality?
Of all the things you say about Arthur, that's the silliest statement I ever heard. He never made anything like that.
Well, let me suggest that you read the May-June issue of the Partisan Review of 1947, Tom, and you can read it for yourself. It's called
Arthur
Schlesinger
said
Manifesto.
There was a conspiracy. Oh. A conspiracy to promote communism?
Oh, no, he didn't use the word conspiracy. He said the objective was to
bring about...
Well, let me finish. I'll tell you. He said that the objective, the secret policy, which we can't tell the American public because they're not sophisticated enough to see the value, is that through a steady result of erosion of New Deals, we bring the American society steadily to the left.
All right.
And through a sound concept of benign containment, we merge into the vital center of the socialist left. Those are his words, not mine.
I think John Kennedy was a member of that conspiracy.
No, let me ask you this. World Federalist Movement in the post-war era contained a lot of people who eventually broke with it, and a lot of people thought the UN in the post-war era looked toward world government. Sure. Indeed, they did, up until 48, 49. But a lot of them said, look, we were utopian. That's over and done with. We can't move. And a lot of them came in Kennedy's government. Schlesinger was in there when they were fighting in Vietnam, launched the effort in Vietnam. Schlesinger was behind the Bay of Pigs. In other words, look, isn't there some move that occurred in the post-war era that now has been dissipated because nobody believes in the utopian ideal of world government anymore?
Well, I think there are those that realize that moving straight from a prototype of the United Nations into world government perhaps is tactically impossible. But phasing out increasingly national sovereignty into regional government and phasing out sovereignties into international treaties in multiple areas could be a route.
The whole movement toward, quote, interdependence.
Yes.
NATO is part of the conspiracy?
All right, we'll break there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back to the last segment here on the Buchanan interview with Larry McDonald, and we'll continue after these breaks. Support Republic Broadcasting Network if you can. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we are back, and this last segment, maybe we could squeeze in 3 minutes or so, Ken, starting at the numbers that I've mentioned here. It's, 1320. 1806 to 1606. See if we can squeeze in this last segment with Pat Buchanan and Larry McDonald particularly.
Now, let me ask you seriously. When you use people like Casey, who's on the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller's Trilateral Committee, Commission, what do you mean, or do you mean, is that your term, the term conspiracy?
Well, there are many different levels of the problem. But yes, the term has been used, the term of conspiracy, when you have a group of people.
I mean, they're actively collaborating, and at the other end of that point of collaboration are communists, and on this end of the point of collaboration is Bill Casey and trilateralists and CFO.
Hey, you have people who are part of the elitist structure of this country that have dominated this country openly for 40 years.
I know, but they're not, is that a conspiracy?
Now, wait a minute. If people quietly working together for evil objectives, two or more, that by definition is a conspiracy. You have, by their own admission, you look at The Tragedy and Hope by Professor Carol Quigley. He's a member of this elitist group. He says, sure, we've been working this. Sure, we've been collaborating with communism. Yes, we're working for a global accommodation. Yes, we're working for world government. The only thing I object to is that we have kept it a secret. And I think we have gone so far along, we should come out and say,
I'll bet you a dollar and a half that Bill Casey doesn't know who Professor Quigley is. I don't.
He's at Georgetown a number of years ago.
He died a couple of years ago, and he wrote The Tragedy and Hope. He's a very noted member of your club, Tom.
Tom, you've got to broaden your reading a little bit.
What I ought to do is read more about conspiracies, and that's why I'm interested in what
I'll tell you what you ought to do is go back and look at your founder, Edward Mandel House, because he wrote the book Philip Drew Administrator. And in this, Colonel House said that what he envisioned for the world was a world government along socialist lines as envisioned by Karl Marx. Now, that's your leader, Tom, so you got to go back to the beginning.
Well, his leader was Woodrow Wilson. Do you think he was a communist?
No, I think Woodrow Wilson was his follower. I think Edward Mandel House dominated Wilson, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And so Edward Mandel House, that was we ought to make that clear. He was
Colonel
President
House.
Wilson's principal
alter advisor. Ego, that's correct.
Yeah. So he is the real villain from which all these conspiracies.
No. He is a major figure, Tom. But there has been, unfortunately, in the West, an element. They are good members in the Council on Foreign Relations, dedicated, patriotic people. You've had Sproul Braden, who was a member of the Council of the Birch Society,
Bill Buckley's
and Council on Foreign Relations. You've got some dedicated people, but the driving forces have very clearly been willing to collaborate, subsidize, work for technology transfer for what they feel is some type of an accommodation and merger. And I submit this would be a disaster for the American Republic.
Are there any in Congress?
Sure.
Our guest has been Congressman Larry McDonald of the John Birch Society. He's the new chairman. He's succeeded Robert Welsh, who has stepped down, as I understand it. Is that correct?
He's been sort of promoted to Chairman
Emeritus. Chairman Emeritus and founder. And Tom Braden and I will be back with final comments in a moment.
Well, you heard it first here on Rick Adams Uncensored. It's nice to go back with these old clips, go back to the Reagan Library and all of these various venues where you can actually get what they said. And the media cannot just misrepresent them all the time. What you had in the first two segments was essentially the Bush dynasty, which is replicated with the Trump administration once again. All right, midway break, our new theme closing. In midway break, we'll come back. Second hour, Art will join us in a little while as well. That's it. That's the new theme, folks. Come right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This